The title to this sermon is Resurrection plus Revival. It's Resurrection plus Revival.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Aaron.
Heavenly Father, glory to your name. Glory to your name, the name above all names. Lord, we are here to honor you. We are here to bow down before your throne. We are here to worship the living King, the one that saved our lives. God, we thank you for the blood. Lord, we thank you for the ultimate sacrifice that, yes, you paid the price that we couldn't afford. And God, as we dig into your holy, powerful, living word, Lord, we just ask that we would hear from heaven. Lord, that you would speak in a clear and audible voice, Lord, that we would know that we have encountered the Holy Spirit, Lord. And God, we ask it, we expect it in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So I was pretty shocked when I found out I was going to be preaching on Easter Sunday as the Sundays fell. And I realized it a couple weeks before Pastor Jerry realized it. And I was like, well, I'm going to call him and tell him he can preach. And the Lord spoke a word to me. He was like, you're going to preach. So Pastor Jerry did call me. He goes, did you realize you were preaching on Easter? And I was like, yeah, it had occurred to me. So I have a word. And it's titled Self-Control Part 2. No, it's not. No, it definitely isn't. We're going to talk about the resurrection today. So let's talk about the resurrection. We'll go to the text about the resurrection in 1 Kings chapter 17. The resurrection. Because what is a resurrection? Coming back to life after death. So just to give you a little backstory about 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah is told, the prophet with a J, God told him to go, and that he had a widow woman there that was going to sustain him, that was going to help him. So Elijah comes to her and he says, can you get me something to drink? And she says, yes. And he says, can you get me something to eat? And she said, I don't have anything. I don't have a cake. I have a handful of meal in a barrel and just a little oil, right? She said, actually, I'm gathering these two sticks. I'm going to go in and prepare them for me and my son. We're going to eat them and die. And Elijah said, no. He said, go make me a cake. He said, it's not going to run out. The meal won't run out. The oil will last while during this whole drought. So we take it up in verse 15. And she, the widow, went and she did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house, they did eat many days. The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he had spoke by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman fell sick. And his sickness was so bad that there was no breath left in him. You know what happens when you stop breathing? You're dead. He died. And I love this. She said unto Elijah, what have I to do with you? You're the man of God. Are you come to me to call my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? Elijah said unto her, very calmly, give me your son. And he took him out of her bosom and he carried him up into a loft where he abode, and he laid him on the bed. The woman's kind of freaking out because her son's dead. Elijah's very calm. Just give me your son. And he goes up, and he cries to the Lord. So some things maybe we should say in our private place is what I got from this. We don't maybe need to share how we're feeling immediately. Maybe we need to go and ask God, right? So he goes to God, and he says the same thing that the woman asked him. He said, Lord, my God, have you brought evil upon the widow with whom I'm living? by killing her son? And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times. He cried to the Lord and he said, "Oh Lord, my God, I pray you, let this child's soul come back into him again." The Lord heard the voice of Elijah. The soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Whew. That would have been an awkward conversation had that not occurred. Elijah took the child, brought him back down to the chamber, into the house, gave him back to his mother, and he said, "See, your son's alive." Calm as calm can be. The woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and the word of the Lord in your mouth is true." And that's a resurrection. Right? A resurrection has occurred. But that's not the one you guys want to talk about, is it? The one you guys want to talk about is in 2 Kings. So let's flip over to 2 Kings chapter 4. Now there's another prophet. Elijah was the first. This is Elisha. There's no J in his name. But this Elisha has met this wonderful Shunammite woman. He's gone to her. She has no child at the time. He prays that she has a child. She has a child. And then her child dies. So what's she do? She comes and she finds him. And she's like, "You prayed for me to have a child, and I had him, and now he is dead." So in verse 32, Elisha comes into the house. Behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in, he shut the door, and he prayed to the Lord. And he went up and he lay upon the child. He put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. He stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned, and he walked in the house to and fro, and he went up, and he stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called his servant Gehazi, and he said, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her, and when she was come into him, he said, "Take up your son." Another resurrection. Right? 2 children that have died, and God has used the prophets to bring them back to life. But still, that's not the resurrection that we were going to talk about. So let's jump over to chapter 13 in 2 Kings. Believe me, I asked the Lord why we were doing this, and he explained it to me at the appropriate time that I was to know this. 2 Kings 13, just verses 20 and 21. Now, Elisha, the one we were just talking about, died. They buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man that was dead, that behold, they saw another band of men. They threw the dead man into the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the dead bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Another dead person brought back to life. But still not the resurrection that we're talking about today. So let's go into the New Testament. Luke chapter 7. So God had resurrections in the Old Testament. Let's see if he changed between there and the New Testament. Luke chapter 7, verse 12. This is speaking of Jesus. "Now when he," Jesus, "came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow," another widow, "and much people of the city were with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said to her, 'Don't cry, weep not.' And he came and he touched the coffin, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, 'Young man, I say unto thee, arise.' And he that was dead sat up, and he began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother." Another resurrection. Turn over 1 chapter into Luke 8, verse 49. Again, this is Jesus speaking. It says, "While he yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, 'Your daughter's dead. don't even bother the master. You don't need to go to Jesus, your daughter's dad. Don't bother him. But Jesus, when he heard it, he answered him saying, fear not, believe only. Just believe, and she'll be made whole. And when he came into the house, he let no man go in with him except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And they all wept. They bewailed her. They were crying. But he said, weep not. She's not dead. She's only sleeping. They laughed him to scorn because they knew she was dead. And he put them all out. And he took her by the hand and he called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again and she rose straightway. And he commanded that they feed her. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell nobody what had happened. Another resurrection. All right, there's another one. Let's go over to John chapter 11. This is Jesus' good friend Lazarus. Jesus was told days in advance that Lazarus was sick. They knew if Jesus would come, he could heal Lazarus. They'd seen it. But Jesus waited and waited until Lazarus had passed. Verse 39, Jesus has come to the tomb. And he says, take away the stone. Now Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, but by this time he stinks. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto you that if you would believe, you should see the glory of God? They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I knew that you heard me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead for 4 days came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. That's 6 resurrections. 6. Matthew chapter 27. Landon had said the other day that she really wanted to watch The Passion, the movie. Have any of you seen The Passion? Have any of you cried while watching The Passion? But she said she hadn't seen it since she was much younger, and she said it just was so real. And I've seen the movie multiple times, and every time it overwhelms me. And every time I read this passage, it overwhelms me. I was sitting in my office reading this yesterday, crying by myself. So before we get to the resurrection, I want us to remember the crucifixion. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had whipped Jesus, and if you think of the imagery of the movie, his back was cut open, it was raw, it was bloody. But when they had whipped him, then they delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of the soldiers. And they stripped him and they put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and they put a reed in his right hand and they bowed before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Then they spit on him and they took the reed from him and they hit him on the head with it. And after that, they mocked him and they took the robe off of him. And Lisa and I were talking about it the other day. She said, do you know how that robe must have gotten into his open womb? And when they took it off of him, it had to have ripped his skin back open. And then they put his own raiment on him. And then they took him to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man, Simon by name, and him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink. mingled with gall. And when he tasted it, he wouldn't drink it. And they crucified him. They put the nails in his hands and in his feet upon the cross. They parted his garments. They cast in lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the prophet. And that's in Psalm 22, 17 and 18. But they parted, it says, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him. And they set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save yourself. If you be the Son of God, come down." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we'll believe. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he has said, 'I am the Son of God.'" It says the thieves that were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. And we know in a different text that one repented and got saved that day. "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice. And what he was saying was, 'My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" That was quoted from Psalm 22, verse 1. Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "He's calling for Elijah." So they were aware of the prophets, right? They said, "This man calls for Elijah." And straightway one of them ran, took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let's see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, and what did he cry? "Tetelestai." He cried, "It is finished." He yielded up the ghost. Now here's where it's a little different than any other of these people's deaths. "Behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake, and all the rocks were broken apart. The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which were dead arose." More resurrection. "They came out of the graves after his resurrection. They went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earth quake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" And then we know that a rich man, Joseph, came. He was a follower and a disciple of Jesus, and he asked if he could take the body, the dead, lifeless body, and put it in the tomb. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. "When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, they brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him." They were coming to the tomb, to the grave of the dead body, right? They were coming to see a dead body. They didn't realize it was the first resurrection Sunday. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the tomb at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who's going to roll away the stone from the door of the tomb?" And when they looked and saw, the stone was rolled away. And it was very great. It was huge. And entering into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the one that was crucified? He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. There's nothing there." He said, "What?" He said, "Go your way and tell His disciples and Peter that He goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see Him as He has said unto you. As He has said unto you. Put your finger there because we're going to come back and read the rest of this. But He said, go into Galilee as He has said unto you. Rick will throw it up here, Matthew 26. A few days earlier, after the Last Supper, they had sung a hymn. They went out to the Mount of Olives, and this is what Jesus said to His disciples. All you shall be offended because of Me this night. For it is written, and this is written in Zechariah 13:7. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered abroad. But look at verse 32. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Let's go back to Mark. So He had told them where He was going to be and where they could find Him after He rose. Mark 16, we'll take back up in verse 8. The angel had just told him, go, tell Peter, tell all the disciples. He'll see him in Galilee. They went out quickly. They fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils. And she went and she told them that had been with Him, as they were mourning and weeping. And they, when they had heard that He was alive and had been seen of her, started singing that chorus we sang. He's alive, alive, right? That's what they started singing. No, they believed. They didn't believe. Okay, after that He appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and they told it to everyone. Now three people have seen Him. Then they started singing, He's alive, right? They just broke into choruses. He's alive. No, they didn't believe either. Afterward, He appeared to the 11 as they sat to eat. And He upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. The Lord spoke to me very clearly. He said, this is the crucifixion that changed everything. This is the resurrection that changed everything. But He said, I'd showed them what I could do. I'd shown them that I could resurrect people. I told them. Did they know about Elijah? Yeah. Did they know about Elisha? Were they with Him when He stopped the funeral and touched the coffin? Were Peter, James, and John with Him when He raised the ruler's daughter? Were they there when He raised Lazarus? The Lord is telling us today, believe His Word. Believe what He can do. If you have read in here something that He can do, He can still do it today. If you've seen Him do something, then don't doubt that He'll do it again. If He has told you where He's going to be, that's where He'll be. We have to believe. He is a God of resurrection. He is a God that heals. He is the risen King of Kings. And we sit here and we're worried, but we can see what He's done. Read this book. It's all true. He's done it. He'll do it again. You've witnessed it with your own eyes. Yet you sit and you doubt, will He do it again? Yes, He'll do it again. He has no limitations. That's why we looked at the other resurrections. Because they knew about all seven of those, yet they didn't believe that Jesus, whom they watched do three of them, was alive. Do we believe that He's alive? That He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now? Do we believe that? That it should change your life? That's life-changing information. If He is risen, then it's over. It is finished. If He's not, then you should all leave because you're wasting your time. But He is. He's alive. He's risen. The title to this sermon is Resurrection Plus Revival. It's Resurrection Plus Revival. And when I wrote it down, I saw the cross. So I text Rick and I said, is there any way you can make that plus sign a cross? And Rick is phenomenal at what he does. But it's resurrection plus revival. Revival, what is revival? It's a spiritual awakening or renewed fervor in one's faith. It can involve a renewed desire to serve God, to live a holy life, and to share the gospel with others. And the most important thing is revival is a divine work. It's not a human invention. We can host a revival, but God has to be the revival. A true revival is characterized by the Holy Spirit's power and presence. We can open up the church and say we're having a week-long revival. But if God's not here, it's just church. We need to have a revival in here so we can host a revival for everyone out there. I want to go back to Mark 16 in verse 7. What did the angel say to them women that came to the tomb? He said, go! He said, go! There's no you're here looking for the dead. He's not here. He's risen. Go! Go tell Peter! Go tell somebody! He said, go! Tell him! He's going before you into Galilee. And look at verse 8. They sat and they thought about it. Should we go? You think we should pray about it? Should we? I don't know. We should maybe wait and see if God speaks. It says they went out quickly and they fled, for they trembled and were amazed. I hope I never stop trembling at amazement at the resurrection of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope we never lose that. I hope when we think about what happened to him and that he walked out of there, the risen King, that we tremble and are amazed each and every time. Have you lost the trembling and amazement? Then I pray today that you get it back and that there's a revival in your soul and that you want to go and tell somebody about it. After he finished in verse 14, telling them, you should have believed. I want you to believe. What did he tell them? He gave them a commandment in verse 15. And he said unto them, go! Go! Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believes and is baptized will be saved. And he that believes not is going to be damned. And these signs that will follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. They're going to lay hands on the sick, like we did last Sunday in this house. And they're going to recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven. And he sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth. And they preached where they were welcomed, right? They preached everywhere. The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Matthew chapter 28. I love the synoptic gospels. I like that there's a little different account, but I promise you they're saying the exact same thing. Matthew 28. This is what Matthew wrote from seeing the exact same thing. Jesus came and he spoke unto them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And what's he say? Go! Go therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Luke 24. We'll read from verse 45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. That's what I pray for this church. I pray that he would open our understanding, that we might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You're witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and he was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. But he told them something there. He said, go and wait. Go and wait. What were they waiting for? Oh, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Let's go over to Acts. Who wrote Acts? Where we just left. So Luke is telling that same account again. What Jesus spoke to them right before he left. The first verse, he talks the same thing he spoke in Luke 1:3. And he said, the former treaties have I made of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach up until the day that he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. He was seen of them 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but they needed to wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. When they therefore were come together and they asked him, they said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what are you going to do with that power? You're going to sit in a dark room by yourself reading and praying until you don't lose your salvation. Right? When I got saved at a young age, I wanted to tell people about Jesus. I walked away from the Lord, but I came back. And when we started coming to this church, that's exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to be saved and sit quietly in one of these seats. And I told Lisa, I said, we'll go to that church, but I'm not getting involved. I'm not going to do anything. And then I started putting the words up on the screen. That's fine, I'll sit in the back. I'll do that one thing. And then Barb got me teaching Sunday school once a month to the kids. And I was like, I like Barb. I'll do that. I'll teach Sunday school to the children once a month. And then Pastor Jerry started Kids Blast. And I was like, you know what? I will assist with Kids Blast as needed. I was needed to assist with Kids Blast like Shauna every single week. And I said, that's fine, I'll deal with the kids. I don't want to see the adults. Then I started going to the ministry training center. It's mostly just me, Kathy, and Judy. And it was like, you know what? No, I'm not going to preach. But you know what? No, I'll preach to the youth on Thursdays, but I'm not preaching on Sunday morning. I mean, I preach on Sunday morning. But I went from saying, I don't want to speak to saying, I've got to get this out of me or I'm going to explode. And that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that resides in each one of you. We need to have a revival in here. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared on them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were multiple people there at this time, and there were people that spoke many different languages, and they could all hear in their own language through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now there were some sitting there, and they started to make fun because these men were speaking in a voice they had never heard, in a tongue that they had never heard. And they said, well, these men are full of new wine. But in verse 14, Peter stood up. Now this is the same Peter that had just denied Jesus and said, I don't know him. I don't know that guy. I wasn't with him. I don't know him. He cursed and said, I don't know him. Because he didn't want to be associated with him. But guess what? Then the resurrection happened. Then the Holy Spirit came. And then a revival welled up in Peter. And Peter said, standing up with the 11, he lifted up his voice and he said to them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken. He said, listen to my words. He wanted everybody to hear him now. And that's what the Holy Spirit can do and should be doing in us. I'm not going to read everything that he said, but jump over to verse 36. What's he preaching? He's preaching the resurrection of Jesus. That's the same thing that we're preaching and should be preaching until he comes back. He said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know completely, know assuredly, that God has made that same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, it's too late. Praise God, it's not too late. What did he say? Peter said to them, repent. That's the same message today. Jesus is alive. Repent. Repent. And he baptized everyone. He said, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. What a revival. The revival started in here and then Peter let it out. And God did the work. We're not going to save anyone. The Holy Spirit draws. Jesus saves. We just have to open our mouths. Chapter 3. I'm done in Acts. You'll have to go to no other books. As you go, we'll start in verse 12. But going up to that, Peter and John were coming up to the temple. They saw a lame man, right? The man was asking for money. What did Peter say to him? He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'll give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And guess what? He rose up and walked. He jumped. He walked, he leaped, and he praised God. And as all the people saw this occur, they were looking at Peter and John with great amazement and wonder. And look what Peter says. When Peter saw it, he said, yes, I healed that man. I healed that man, and now he can walk, right? No. Peter looked, and he saw it, and he said, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why are you looking so earnestly on us? Why are you looking at us? As though by our power or holiness we've made this man to walk? He says in verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, the one you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when Pilate was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One, the just, and desired a murderer be granted unto you. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead. And we are witnesses. We saw Him. He's alive. And His name, through faith in His name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him hath given Him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I don't want you, and through ignorance, I know that you killed Him through ignorance. Jesus prayed on the cross, forgive them, they know not what you do. And that's what Peter says. He says, I know that through ignorance you killed Him. Also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all His prophets. Now Peter remembers what the prophets did, right? Sometimes we need a reminder or a refresher. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do. He'll remind us. But He said, by those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all His prophets that Christ should suffer, He has so fulfilled. Repent, therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And He'll send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. He's told us everything He's going to do, just like He did them. We can read Revelation. We've seen the end. There's no confusion on how this ends for me. I don't need to watch a movie trailer. I don't need to read the... I've read the last page. I know how this is going to end. He, since the world began, He told what He was going to do. Jump down to verse 26. And He says unto you, first God. And what's He talking about? The resurrection. Having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from His iniquities. Now, there are going to be people that are going to accept you preaching Jesus' resurrection, that Jesus died and rose again. And it's going to upset other people. As a matter of fact, it upset some people that day in the very next verse, chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spoke to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came up to Him. They were grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They actually laid hands on them, put them in hold until the next day, for it was now evening. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000 more. Revival was happening. They got took away, but people were getting saved. Well, guess what? They get out. And we'll go down to verse 29. They let them out and they said, you guys can't be preaching this Jesus. You can't be preaching this resurrection. They were like, well, we're only going to speak on the things which we've seen and heard. So we're going to keep doing that. We're going to keep talking about Jesus. And we saw Him. So like, we're going to tell people that He's alive. But look at this in verse 29. And now, Lord, you see their threatenings. Grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of what? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Church, happy Resurrection Sunday. He's alive. Dee spoiled it earlier when she said the tomb was empty. I was going to share that with you, but now you already know. The tomb is empty. He's alive. Alive. Alive forevermore. So there's a revival in here, that we have a revival out there. We need to preach the resurrection until He comes. Heavenly Father, I pray this prayer out of Acts chapter 4, that You're going to see the threatenings that come upon us, but You would grant Your servants with all boldness that they may speak Your word, that they may speak of the resurrection of Jesus Christ until He comes back. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that fire like in the day of Pentecost will come and well up within us, would rest on our heads, that we can't do anything but speak the truth of the risen King. God, I pray it. I've seen the miracles. We have seen them corporately. You're showing signs and wonders. You've raised the dead in this house, just like You did for Elijah and for Elisha and for Jesus, Your Son. God, You've done it with Lee. We've seen it. Let no one be discouraged by anything, Lord, but take heart that You are the King of Kings, that You sit on the throne, and that Your kingdom is everlasting. God, I pray it, and we thank You for the crucifixion. We thank You for the cross. And we thank You that You are alive and seated on the right hand of the Father until You come back. As we close this service again, if you've not accepted Jesus, today is the day. Don't wait. He's calling you. But if you need any prayer, we're going to open up this altar. We will lay hands on you. We will anoint you with oil. Anything, it's possible with God. Don't wait. Don't doubt. Only believe. He's shown you time and time again. He's given us story after story. He's given us His Word. We have the prophets to read. And we know all the things He's done here in this house and in our lives. Don't doubt, only believe. The resurrection is real. And He wants to send a revival, first in us, and then to all. If you need prayer, come.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.